Lamar.
Quick! Does anyone know a good social justice warrior? I know I'm offended, but I can't remember why. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Yes, I'm 14 years old, and all of you look really old to me. My parents are pretty old. They're in their 40s now. Yeah, they're always telling me how easy I have it. They're like, oh, your generation's great. You don't know how hard it was to be a kid when we were kids. Why can't you be more like we were? Maybe because most of the crap you did when you were kids is illegal now. I cannot walk to 7-Eleven and buy my grandparents cigarettes. I am not allowed to hitchhike. I can't drink from a garden hose. I can't play with lawn darts, which were banned in 1988. When I ride my bike, I have to wear half a bowling ball on my head, because safety's a thing now. When my parents were kids, when they left the house, it was just, all right, see ya, be back by dark, don't get abducted, molested, or eaten, and have fun. But if I want to go anywhere, I have to carry a whistle and a binder of all nearby registered sex offenders.
Hi there, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you are listening today. We got a jam-packed show, great show ahead. I've got Uncle Milty in studio because it's a Monday. How are you?
I'm good.
And a lot to talk about. Man, the headlines are just filled with stuff, are they not? And so we have a lot to talk about with the fantastic Dr. Pesta. Dr. Pesta, welcome, as the only one of the only conservatives left in our higher education. I applaud you. I'm so glad you're on the show. You have a wonderful show yourself. You might want to let the audience know about that, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. The Dr. Duke Show. The Dr. Duke Show. It's an hour a week on education issues. You can, any place you can get podcasts, you can listen to it free. And I hope you go up and subscribe for it.
Yes, and I love that. And also, the school that delivers that homeschool approach with teachers that I love, that's nationally accredited, it's one of my favorite things that I talk to people about, even off the air, fpeusa.org. Are you still in enrollment right now for next year?
Still enrolling, yeah, another couple of months yet. So if you want a great online school with live teachers and a classical education, get away from that public school system. Check out Freedom Project Education, fpeusa.org.
Right. Perfect. I love it. Well, welcome to the show. Headlines are busting at the seams, and so much to talk about. Felicity Huffman pleading guilty, right? And so many others pleading guilty on this college admissions scam. Might want to talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, you know, education. It's amazing how many things we talk about on your show week to week, Kate.
I know.
That have tentacles right back in education, and this is a biggie. And good for Huffman. I mean, Lori Loughlin is still fighting this, of course, and defending herself. But what I was impressed with was Felicity Huffman's mea culpa. I mean, it was entire, it was complete, take full responsibility. She apologized to her own daughter, who apparently had no idea this was going on.
Right.
So that's good, I suppose. I mean, it's nice to know that there is a conscience somewhere in Hollywood that can be stirred by the threat of jail.
It's sad. It's really kind of sad to see this all play out this way. I mean, who knew? I mean, I'm sure you've known, you know, these kinds of things were happening on such a large scale. But I think the public really wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't really something that the public thought, I think.
Well, to me, I think the big part of the story is that this exposes the leftist hypocrisy of universities. They're pay for play. I mean, and it's not just this. This is a scandal. This is a relatively mild scandal. To me, a much bigger scandal is Harvard allowing legacies in. So your dad went there and donated $1 million, you get in. They've been doing this for 50 years, more than that. And so to me, the left is the primary place in America today where we're getting a pro-socialist worldview, where kids are being indoctrinated to leftism, where capitalism, free markets, the American way are all under attack. And these universities and these professors, these leftist administrators, they posit themselves as these heralds of social justice and economic equality and fairness and tolerance and all the garbage we hear. And yet when you strip it all away, they're as money-grubbing as the biggest tech corporation. They're more venal in their quest for public money than BP or any of these so-called polluting oil companies. They're motivated by money. And somehow the academic left at all of its levels gets to claim a moral high ground when it comes to social issues while engaging in the kind of corporate greed that they want to blame only on the Wall Street. I mean, it's really shocking that they're allowed to get away with that.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see how this thing plays out. It'll be interesting when some of these people go to prison. They'll probably get prison time. I know that there was a lot of chatter about them asking what life in prison is like, who can visit, you know, things like this coming out. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in the future with college admissions, how they clamp down, what's going on, and how many people have actually been able to do it this way. Go ahead.
I was going to say, look at it from the bottom, not just from the top as well.
Sure, sure.
We know that the people at the top, the progressive privileged, managed to buy their way in left and right. But we're also taking in, and this is just as big a scandal, it's more dangerous perhaps, they're taking in at the bottom, in the name of social justice, kids who don't belong, kids who can't do the work, kids who are intellectually unprepared or attitudinally unable to do the work and the kind of study it takes to get a college degree. And yet you're bringing in 3-4 out of 10 students every year, 30-40% of students who can't really do the work. So what you're doing is you're lowering the entire expectations of a college education, all the while you're charging more for it. I think what's happening at the bottom is at least as worthy of conversation as what's come out about how the progressive families of Hollywood are taking advantage of their privilege.
Oh, I love it. Yes. In fact, there's a lot going on in the meltdown phase of what's happening today, and a lot of it seems to stem from that same area that a lot of these people are stemming from for this particular scandal. And you brought up a great Che Rivera. You brought up such a great article to us. It was funny. Go ahead.
Well, a little bit of a prologue to what you said is exactly right. I think we've reached the point in American culture where the left's illusions have been stripped naked. I mean, the emperor isn't just naked in his bedroom. The naked progressive Democrat emperor is riding a mule down the middle of the town square, and everybody but progressives can see it now. Mm. Yeah. And you think about the nothing burger that was the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. You think about the non-crises, right? That they're ignoring the real crises in our societies, a border, this abortion scandal, all this other stuff that they can't see. And this is, an article from the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, where a university professor, the most disjointed of all progressives, is the progressive university professor, the one perhaps the farthest removed from reality on his socialist campus. Mm-hmm. Here's what he argued, an art history professor. He compared murderous communist revolutionary Che Guevara to Jesus. And this is not just the old pictures we saw of crucified Che. Here's some of his rhetoric in a seminar he taught at UCLA. Quote, Che Guevara, once the epitome of armed struggle, has evolved. How do you evolve after you've been murdered, by the way, executed?
I don't know.
Che Guevara has evolved to an avatar of justice, peace, and love, as Jesus always was, but no longer is exclusively. So Che Guevara, the murderer, the guy who set up Castro's killing fields, his assassin, his hitman, who's got tens if not hundreds of thousands of deaths on him himself, Che now has evolved into a Christ figure. Christ now is no longer the peace-loving Son of God, the Messiah who's going to save us all, but Christ has now evolved into a revolutionary, and they configure. The revolutionary and the Messiah now configure in the left-wing icon Che Guevara. And this is the kind of garbage that kids are lapping up on college campuses. It is ahistorical. It is contra-intuitive. It's an absolute lie. It's theologically bankrupt. And yet, kids are buying this left and right. And this guy, by the way, is an art history professor. Please explain to me how an art history professor suddenly has the theological chops to be able to make this elision between Che Guevara and Jesus Christ.
Well, one of the ways he did that was he compared that Guevara wrote a letter to his father. Well, we know in the Gospels Jesus talked to his father a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in the letter Guevara wrote to his father, he was honest and said, I have to confess to you, Dad, that at that moment I discovered that I really like to kill. So I can see how...
Give me a break.
Yeah, I remember that moment on the cross when Christ was hanging where he said, son of a gun, it's been a heck of a ride. I just wish I'd killed more people along the way. I remember. Is that the Gospel of Luke?
Yes,
I remember that
be.
Distinctly.
Jeez. I mean, this is just nuts. Nuts how this gets twisted.
How about this? The professor, a fellow by the name of Kunzel, also referred to Guevara as a quasi-divine cosmic force, while calling Jesus the leader of an armed guerrilla struggle against Rome. So somehow, apparently, Jesus and a bunch of Jewish college kids occupied the main street in Rome at the Forum and started bludgeoning people or something. But I guarantee you there's not a single UCLA college kid in the audience who understands enough history or theology to even begin to question what this professor was saying.
It's news to Jesus. I'm not quite sure. Not even quite. My face is melting off from just the clear, just abuse of information. I don't know how to wrap my brain around this, but you know what? We're churning kids out that are dumb enough to believe this. And when the Common Core reports came out and it finally said, this is a dismal failure. Our kids are scoring lower than ever. They don't know anything. Has anything changed? No. Nobody cares that our kids are coming out of the system so dense. And then when stuff like this comes along, they easily gravitate toward it. They easily adopt it as fact. It's amazing to watch what becomes fact in their eyes. I mean, this is a perspective of truth for these people.
This is how you get AOC, right? This is exactly what leads to a legion of millennial AOCs. And what's really remarkable to me, I don't think anymore, guys, the word fake news is strong enough. This isn't fake news. This isn't making up stories. This is fake reality. This is a complete alternative universe. The left lives in. I go back to what I said a moment ago. According to the progressive left, there is no crisis at the border. According to the progressive left, murdering 9-month-old babies in utero or after they're born alive after a botched abortion is compassion. When you think about the left's attitude, and meanwhile, we're doing that to 9-month-old babies. We're actually now beginning to let 4-year-olds undergo transgender therapy. This is staggering what the alternate universe in which the left lives. And we've got a lot more stories. Let's not get hung up on this one. We've got a lot more stories that demonstrate the complete collapse of logic, reason, common sense around progressive issues.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tiresome because of the amount of volume of the stories like this, and they're getting worse and worse and worse with their so-called facts and destroying.
Well, before we move on, how about this one from Professor Kunkel?
Mm-hmm.
Kunzel, quote, as God created light, is light, Che is radiance. So God is the light, and a murderous communist thug is now the reflection of that light. Stunning when you think about this.
Wow. We're going to come right back. There's so much to say in the Today Show, so we're going to come right back. We got a lot to talk about when we do. But I love that you're drawing attention to this, and I love that the people listening, I hope, are making sure that those in their life within this group of people that are graduating college or in college or graduating high school are hearing the facts. We have to spend a lot more time going in and correcting what they're learning more than anything right now. I can't stress that enough. Sitting around the dinner table and correcting history has got to be a top priority. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Go to katedalyradio.com. Glad to have you. Uncle Milty's with me. And, of course, the great Dr. Duke Pesta's with us, too, which I absolutely love. He comes every Monday. If you're new to the show, he's one of the last conservatives in the education, higher education system. We so appreciate his outspokenness, what he does to correct history, and how he's out there being a champion against the incredible liberalism that's going on in our schools. And I use that word, and I know the context in history is different than what they've turned it into, by the way. So I'm going to mention that. But a big welcome to Dr. Pesta as well. Thank you for being on today.
Thank you very much.
You bet. I was having a conversation with somebody that was maybe a liberal, I guess you could say, and he had organized a march about in my own community about the Mueller report. They weren't quite satisfied. The 30 people that showed up weren't quite satisfied with the conclusion and by Barr. And so they think there's something in there. And when I asked, okay, well, let's go for the big question then, the K. Bono question. How did Russia benefit then? like, you can probably show me after 2 years how Russia now or Trump has benefited. Because if I go back to the Hillary Russia collusion for uranium, I can see that she financially got something out of it. So tell me then what happened and transpired from this relationship that you think is fact. And there wasn't an answer to that. The answer was basically, I need to go do more homework. And so this is a huge problem, because in a lot of minds out there, facts are now facts, but usually what they are assumptions. They've turned assumptions into facts, and there's a lot of this going on, is there not?
it's not just
we have a huge problem. Yeah,
we do, and we said before the break, it's how angry can you get?
Yes.
The more angry and the more smug and self-righteous and holier than thou they get, the more it justifies, even if they're lying. How many times have we seen this last week? People involved with the Mueller pushing the false collusion narrative, now simply saying, like the president of CNN, I'm proud of the way we handled that. Just because there was no formal conclusion doesn't mean he didn't collude, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did nothing wrong in the media, Brian Stelter says, right? We are innocent. We are the heroes here. They're giving themselves, CNN's giving themselves awards, right, for their handling of all of this. It's like there's nothing that can slow this train down. The more the lies, the more they get to preen and Paul, the more they get to, in their mind, take the moral high ground against the Trump administration, the less the truth has to be involved. And we see Hollywood, and we see academia, and the journalists are following in their footsteps, making stuff up. And when they're caught red-handed, they don't even deny that they did wrongdoing. They praise themselves for what they did.
Yeah. The investigations in the past of some of the big ordeals of our time, say in government, have usually taken about 6 months to get to the information and bring it up and then pursue it. And so the problem here is that for two solid years, they've wanted this to come true. It hasn't. Even the conclusion hasn't. Mueller didn't say, oh, Barr, you're wrong. you're not being honest. No, nothing like the sort. They still put Mueller on a pedestal for being perfect, because they really liked this guy going after Trump, but they just think there's got to be something there. When we clearly see how people have benefited from their relationships, you know, what's always striking to me is what we spend our time embellishing in our heads. And so what we spend our thoughts on, what we spend our time on, and that's always been a concern, because at least there's something there. You want to make sure there's something that's real. If you're going to invest some time into it, hopefully it's going to be real. When I say chatter on the ground on the show, I'm exclaiming it's just chatter. This is just what people are saying. When I talk about a story and I can say this happened, it's because I went and did my homework and it's clearly stated in research or history. Our kids don't understand the difference.
Mm-mm.
And that's a huge problem.
And I like what you said about Mueller a couple of minutes ago, right? This idea that somehow the left still stands by him, and now somehow the right has found newfound affection for him.
Yes.
And no one's talking about this, guys. You said 6 months. It usually takes 6 months to get to the bottom of this.
Yep.
In this investigation could have been done in 3 months.
Yep.
But Mueller dragged it out for over 2 years, knowing he had nothing. That's the thing that no one's talking about. It's not like, you know, up until the 11th hour, he was finding new things out. He found almost nothing. And so consequently, Mueller dragged this out so that the media could carry this on, so that Hollywood can continue to go nuts about this, so that every newscast could smear Trump. If he could have gotten it away with it, Mueller, he'd have extended it 2 more years up into the 2020 elections.
So true. I look at Cory Booker. Oh, go ahead, Uncle Milty.
Well, I was just going to say, and yet in the end, we know now that the 2.5 years Schiff has been claiming there was evidence of collusion is false.
Uh-huh.
And
they said there was, and they've seen it,
no,
and it's huge.
Him and Swalwell both. I've absolutely seen the evidence.
Yes.
And
Nancy
it's
said
proven
that
not to exist. And they're still insisting they're right.
Yeah, there's egg on their face, so they're all trying to redeem themselves now. You know, it's quite funny to watch.
Now it's, I don't need to see what would Bill Maher say, right? Comedian of the left, basically, their pet comedian. He said, I don't need to see the Mueller report to know that Trump colluded. I have the TV. No doubt tuned to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, right? Mm-hmm. And so because Rachel keeps insisting on it, I don't have to see the evidence, the proof, or the investigation. I know he did it because it's on my TV.
Yes. And you know, there should be investigations into the things we do know. Hillary did have a server. There was an email scandal. And it's huge, and nobody cares, and nobody wants to investigate. We're on the nothing burger instead of what we do know. And that's a great way to go, well, there's facts here. And by assumption, there's facts here, even though I'm going to ignore the facts over here. We have so many scandals that really could be investigated right now. Look what we just dealt with the intelligence agencies. Yet the left focuses in, hyper-focuses on this. Kind of like Cory Booker hyper-focusing on reparations. This is all embellished in his own head as something that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. People aren't clamoring for this.
Yeah, and no sooner does some leftist suggest something than all the other leftists, as we said a moment ago, get in line to try to outleft them, right? I said, sure. I think it was during the break I pointed out if one of the, we should create a really progressive dummy candidate. I'd say it was Beto because he has the IQ for it. Mm-hmm. But we created a dummy candidate who said something like, you know, in the name of social justice, we have to create low-income housing on the moon. I guarantee you within 24 hours, every Democrat candidate would be lining up to back that proposal. And the thing about Cory Booker that gets me is, notice what he's done here. He is like our undergraduates. He is like the media. He's like Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He is so convinced that slavery is what African Americans are facing today. Mm-hmm. We have convinced generations of people that slavery hasn't gone away. That every time, because we've only had one black president, or we haven't had a black female president yet, or there's only one African American on the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. we have convinced generations of people that this is the legacy of slavery. No, it is not. Slavery has ceased to impact people in this country over 100 years ago.
Right.
And but how many progressives, and Cory Booker here is a classic example. You're going to pay people today for something that ended 150 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the idea that that's going to fix the problem. And yet watch. Now, Kamala Harris is behind this, and Bernie, mm-hmm. and everybody's lined up behind this. Because it sounds good, but it's utterly intellectually empty. What are you going to pay these people for? You know what, Corey? I'm with you. If you can demonstrate even a third generation tie to slavery, uh-huh. I'm willing to concede your point. But you can't. There's no one alive today who has those ties.
That's so
but
true.
What I want to do is say, Corey, listen, I don't mind paying reparations, but will you be my slave for 2 years so I'm actually paying for something I had?
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, let me say this. The reparations thing, it would be hard to nail down. It would be hard to do anything with. And really, the only reason is because it makes people happy when they think they're going to get something for free that they've deserved because they're the victim class. This is exactly why he's doing it. I mean, he could have gone to bat for another entitlement program. But when you run out of programs to give and you're already giving them to the whole, you know, to the height of what you're doing, this is a whole new angle to give people something so they can go, I'm going to benefit personally. I'm going to get some cash from Cory Booker going into office.
Well, I mean, think about the entitlements that the progressive candidates have already put on the table. Mm-hmm. Free universal health care from cradle to grave, free housing subsidies, free transformation of our economy to non-fossil fuels in the space of a few short years. We want to give now reparations to anybody who's been offended for any reason going back through history. This gets more expensive. It becomes more unrealistic. And there's not a one of them willing to stand up and say, you know, stop it. I mean, you are promising them, you're embarrassing us. You're promising them that they can't be that stupid as not to know that you can't give them these things. But this is why you and I, we've all, the three of us, been talking for a year and a half on this show about this is what happens when we allow education to be the sole province of the left. You grow up generations of kids who don't know that this is impossible, who don't even understand what $1 trillion means in real time, who haven't the vaguest idea when slavery actually ceased to exist. And so because we have huge swaths of kids under 35, people under 35 years old, who actually think this is historically upon us now, this is that we can lower the tides tomorrow like Obama promised he would do. Like we actually could take 36 or 40 or $100 trillion of wealth and invest it in the next 5 years and make everybody's life utopia.
That's so true. And I loved your comment about free housing, affordable housing on the moon. when you said the left is out lefting itself, I mean, it really is showing itself. Obama gives a speech. He mentions himself 400 times in a 90-minute speech. We're looking at narcissism and ideas in our head becoming facts, and all of these things play out, and they keep spiraling out of control. Uncle Milty, did you have something?
Well, I just, you know, they attack their own constantly. If Thomas Sowell comes out, or Jason mm-hmm. Hill, Professor Hill, mm-hmm. came out and said reparations, it's an impossible thing to litigate. There's no way to do
you
it.
You can't do this. Yeah.
And so what do they do instead of understanding that? They attack their own.
Yeah, that any liberal who's only 90 degrees right of center, left of center, instead of 100 degrees, you attack them, you turn on them, and you pivot even farther left, right? And look, I got to defend Barack Obama. If I get that he loves himself, but if your wife was Michelle, you're probably better off loving yourself. I mean, I doubt you're getting that much attention at home. So let's cut the man a break on that, I suppose.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
But boy, somebody who's got a pronoun problem. Maybe that's what we should do. Instead mm-hmm. of trying to invent 80,000 different pronouns for 150 different made-up genders, maybe we just start to become very suspicious when somebody's pronoun, whenever they're talking, is me, 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 I. Maybe that should be the benchmark for us stopping people, walking away from people right there. Mm-hmm. 400 times in a short speech, he referenced himself.
It's astounding. And they call Trump a narcissist. I'm kind of laughing at those because the headline always wins, and not the headline I just listed, because that's probably a little bit lesser known than the headline wins on just tearing somebody apart. When I asked this particular person who did the march, you know, would you vote for him then if he was exonerated, right? And of course he is already, just because the report didn't say anything. So would you then vote for him? And the answer is, well, no. But why not? I mean, he didn't collude. He's been doing an okay job. And still, I always say on the show, I don't agree with everything, and I point out what I don't like. But can you tell me why? There's no answers. There's never an answer. It's just, I don't like his personality, and he should go to prison for his personality. That's not an answer. So I think, you know, what we take in our minds as facts, all of these things, they have to actually be. And if you're going to exclaim their facts, they need to be a fact rather than an assumption, rather than I think, rather than, and truly, if there's something that we don't know, we usually say that on the show. I really don't know, but this is what I think. We have to preface it. Otherwise, if we stop doing that, we have what we have today, which is this spiraling out of control of the left, this total spiral into nonsense. We have people having full meltdowns on TV, crying on TV because of what happened.
Yeah.
They should be happy that their president did not collude with Russia. I mean, they should be happy, but they're not. Why? Be right back with Dr. Pest and Uncle Milty when we come back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
There, welcome back. A little crazy on you for you for a reason. We're so glad to be back. I've got Uncle Melty, Dr. Duke Pesta with me, and we were just discussing sort of this embellished, sort of hyper focused, and victimization sort of taking over, and people having severe meltdowns because of it. They're kind of a product of themselves, if you will. And Dr. Pesta, we're seeing this in a lot of different areas too. Michelle Williams came out, and that story broke some time ago about her not getting paid as much as Mark Wahlberg to do some edits on a movie when Kevin Spacey was taken out and they had to re-edit somebody else in. And how her female outrage just went through the roof because she realized that he was paid so much more. But there's a problem with that story, isn't there?
Yeah, honestly, I consider myself fairly aware of who's who in Hollywood.
Right,
can't
right.
not. I've known for years and years and years who Mark Wahlberg was. I'd never heard of Michelle Williams. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who she was. And I think the vast majority of Americans would much more easily recognize Wahlberg than they would recognize her. And yet she's griping that she's paid less. You know, by that argument, then, every time Meryl Streep, who's the highest paid actor in the world, mm-hmm. every time Meryl Streep does a movie, the men below her or paid less than her have the same gripe. It's a stupid argument, right?
Yes.
Hollywood works on box office draws. They hire actors based on how recognizable, how much personal clout and recognition they'll bring to the role. Nobody knows who Michelle Williams is. Everybody knew who Mark Wahlberg was.
Right.
He should get paid more. And quite frankly, the differences in their pay probably should have been greater than it was based on their name recognition.
Yeah. The only fact that she produced was we did the exact same amount of work in the exact same amount of scenes. But like you just said, that isn't how Hollywood is paid. You're paid on notoriety. You're not paid on the actual work itself. Doesn't matter X amount of lines delivered. This is the pay scale. It's on notoriety. Uncle Milty?
Well, by using that train of thought, let's look at sports.
All of this is done, you know, by their name and some certain things. It doesn't equate to, you know, I washed X amount of dishes, you washed X amount of dishes, and we were paid differently. But that was the tale she was telling. She has ratcheted up that story and embellished it so much now, become such a victim that she is causing people now to regurgitate this story because she just spoke and she went up and raised it about 10 notches from what the initial outrage was. So she believes in her head that this is the truth.
Related to this, the whole pay gap, the whole wage gap story has been debunked by feminist economists, not just masculine men.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. There's no truth. When you factor in all the variables at play and the reason men and women don't make as much, what you find is that women have much more flexibility in their jobs than men do. Women are have much more opportunities to walk away and then walk back to work at different times in their life than men do. Women spend much less time at work than men do. When you think about all those things, there is no pay gap. But for, 20 years now we've known this? And it gets repeated as if it's the truth again and again and again. You know, who was it that said, if you tell a lie enough times, it becomes the truth? And that's where we are. And Milty mentioned sports, right? Yeah, exactly. LeBron James, and I can't even name a single WNBA player, right? That's the difference. They both do the same thing. They dribble, they jump, they shoot, they run.
Right.
You know who LeBron James is.
Mm-hmm.
Who? I'm embarrassed to say I can't name a single WNBA player as I sit here right now.
Right. Uh-huh.
Should they be paid the same? Right?
Exactly.
Do they bring the same amount of eyeballs to TV screens? Do the WNBA players sell as many tickets or jerseys as the professional men do? No, the answer is no, they don't.
Right.
They shouldn't be paid the same, nor should Hollywood actresses and actors necessarily, or anybody for that matter.
And so, of course, womanhood is, again, the class of victimization. Go ahead.
It's kind of like working in a profession where you work on commission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you put the same 8 hours in as the next insurance agent but don't sell a policy, you're not going to make the same money.
No, it's so true. And was Julia Roberts paid the top dog on some of her movies? Of course she was. She was paid $20 million in a lot of cases, a lot more than, say, her male counterparts that sometimes were not very known, but they took a chance. Say, and like you were mentioning on the break, Meryl Streep. I mean, there's a lot of cases in reverse. Do you see the men coming forward and saying, I was not paid? Because you know why? They don't want to say that because they want the audience to think their notoriety is big. They don't want to draw attention to less notoriety.
Right. And Williams, she benefited from being in that movie with Wahlberg because people tuned in to watch him, not her.
Yes.
And people who otherwise wouldn't have known her got to know her through that.
Yep.
So maybe 20 years down the road, she'll be getting Wahlberg money. Right. But not if she keeps whining like this. She's not.
Exactly. And then you have Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris in the political ring would like to now announce, because they have to do something different to grab headlines and attention. If you're not going after reparations, what do you have in that party? And so she's going after an all-female team. As if that's going to cure the ails of America.
Right. Right. And it's like this Notre Dame women's basketball coach who just lost the national championship coming out and saying, there's too many men in positions of power in basketball, so I'm not going to hire any men. Only the progressive leftist could get away with a statement like that. Only a progressive leftist, whether it's Hollywood or women's sports or the Democrat Party, only a progressive can say, I'm not going to hire you on the basis of your race. I'm not going to hire you on the basis of your gender. I don't like your skin color, so I'm not going to promote you. If any other demographic had said that, it would be a career-ending instances of racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not for the progressive left. They get to play this race baiting game. And now Kamala wants a whole team of women, presumably as intellectually dull as she is, to become the next ones running the country. Outstanding.
As if ovaries make a true difference in house in somebody's understanding of the Constitution, which really should be the pivot of a conversation. If you're going to run for office, it should be about the qualifications for the job, not the gender.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's for a group of people, progressives, who argues that biology is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's funny how they default to biology when they want to run for president, right? Biology doesn't mean anything. It's all just made up. You are whatever gender you say you are. We've got people like Rachel Dolezal insisting that she's black even though she's white, and people conceding that she wants to be black, she can be black. So I guess maybe this is where we are now, right? Mm-hmm. We're all women when it comes to power, right?
Yes.
If Kamala, will you pick me if I identify as an African-American woman named Letitia? I've got clairvoyant. Clairvoyance is one of my superpowers. Would you take me?
Free housing on the moon. Don't forget that.
Because if you say you won't, then you're denying my ability to change who I am while simultaneously granting it to your pet friends.
So I want to see now Joe Biden grow some and say, I think we should have all men on the ticket.
Well, he did choose, theoretically, Stacey Abrams, the failed governor candidate in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so I believe I pointed out before, Biden is choosing the one woman who he's not the least interested in groping to be his vice president.
He's not smelling her hair? What?
He knows he's got the one woman, the only woman in the entire world who's alluring temptations he can resist.
Well, and besides that, you could almost grope her by accident.
Well, I just laugh at, gee, your hair smells terrific. Commercial comes to mind. You know, there's a lot of talk about Biden and the creepy factor. Even Trump was spreading the video because it is a lot of footage. So if he's doing that much, there's got to be more behind the scenes.
Right.
But on that same note, you know, they weren't talking about the scandals of his son receiving money from China after a visit to China and the threatening of Ukraine, the Ukrainian prosecutor that was looking into Biden's son, and he was actually using his position as vice president in that last year to say, we're going to take funding from you if you don't call off the dogs.
It shows you how venal this is, that Biden himself, who's up to, I think, at least 8 accusers now, Biden himself has been on this train for 20 years, talking down white men, talking down capitalism, talking down masculinity. And all the while he was doing that, pretending to be a good leftist feminist and demeaning white masculinity, that he was the king of the grope, right? He was a party boy. He was the, let me smell your hair so I can grind my crotch against your hip guy, right? That's what he's been.
Yes.
And so what I love about the story is he's finally got caught, right? Once again, we see it, the fake liberal feminist. Harvey Weinstein was that fake liberal feminist, right? David Letterman was that fake liberal feminist, right? There are all these progressive guys who are lecturing us about how we have to accept our own responsibility as white males for every evil thing in the world. The liberals who are saying that, I think the more guilty they are of their own violation of women, of their own hypocrisy, the more guilty they are, the more they attack their own so they can justify doing what they do. It's pathetic.
It is. And this whole Me Too movement that's been weaponized, it's kind of funny how it's being weaponized against him, against their own people. It's biting them.
Well, but how many of these women anchors, Rachel Maddow, the girls on The View, how many of these shares come out now? Oh, no, you guys have it all wrong. He's creepy and gropey in the most sincere way. When he gropes and sniffs and grinds, he's doing it out of love, not perversion, right? And you can't even look at them with the same face. The same Cher that's calling Donald Trump the greatest pervert to have ever walked the face of the earth on the basis of comments and allegations, now we've got endless footage. They've even done mock-up videos of Joe groping and squeezing, right? What's that Journey song?
Yes,
kissing and
loving,
teasing.
Loving, yeah, squeezing.
Na, the Joe Biden theme.
Yes.
They've got, and yet those same women who see in every wink and every picture of Trump and his wife together, they see a serial harasser. When they look at old creepy Joe doing that kind of stuff, well, he means it with the best of intent. He's just an affectionate guy. He's like your grandpa.
Yes. And the one thing that you can't ignore in that is how awkward and uncomfortable the people visibly feel. So this
little girl.
Yes. As he's just playing with their hair.
12 and 13-year-old girls just have that creeped-out, cynical look that you don't ever want to see on a kid under 18. I mean, my God, this is traumatic. These little girls are going to need hours of psychiatric evaluation after they've been officially Joe Biden'd.
And he's been doing this. long before he was a grandpa.
Yes, that's very, very true. And also on the same note, you know, it's awkwardly visible, you know, how the people look and feel. And so what's not being recorded, there's so much damning footage. It's not like one piece of footage. And think of it this way. If you were in your workplace and let's say your boss went up to you and did exactly what Joe Biden's doing, would you feel that that was inappropriate? You don't need to weaponize the Me Too movement, but wouldn't you feel like that was kind of inappropriate? Yes, you would.
Well,
so you can't even, we have to be able to see what we're seeing and call it for what we're seeing.
Well, if you're a young female starlet who wants a job at the expense of all else, and it's Uncle Harvey who's hugging you, I guess your response is to take your dress off and lay down, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
It shows you also how feminist women, so-called progressive women, are hypocrites. As we've said before on your show, how many senior stars, how many people like Jane Fonda knew exactly what Weinstein had been doing for 20 years? And in all of their woke progressiveness, didn't say a word. Let these girls lay down to get jobs, right? The idea that in the case of Weinstein, these progressive women are innocent. It's just nonsense. And so now you got those same progressive women trying to apologize for creepy Uncle Joe.
And even for themselves, they got the career they wanted. They used Harvey as Harvey used them. And then they call themselves victims after. I think something needs to draw attention to that, because had they been the courageous warrior women, they would have stood up and said, hey, I want this career, but I can't because I'm a victim now of Harvey Weinstein. But they used him and he used them. And they did so willingly and gladly to get the career. And no, it's not right. I'm not standing up for Harvey Weinstein. But what I'm saying is they call themselves courageous. And I'm going, why weren't you courageous in the beginning when it was going on, not after you became famous, Uncle Milty?
And now the young starlets coming up know that they can go along with it to build their career and then complain 20 years later.
Yeah. Well,
It just shows you how unfair the system is. It's very easy for powerful men to seduce ambitious young girls, but nobody wants to sleep with us old guys, right, Milty? That's the real outrage here, I'm telling you, is that it doesn't work. It doesn't work both ways,
right? For
there's not a lot of hot young bosses out there who are just dying for our old flesh. Oh, now, maybe you got something I don't know about.
Milty. Are you claiming you're the Stacey Abrams?
That's right, the Stacey Abrams. No one wants to smell my hair if I even had any. So.
Oh, man. Kamala's women team. You know what? We're going to see a lot more of this as we're heading into 2020.
Oh, yeah.
The focus is going to be on women, the warrior women. And if one person says a word about them, you are a misogynist, you are all of these things, and they cannot wait to use the ammunition, let's just call it.
Right. It's like this DA in Chicago, the one who let Jesse Smollett go.
Right.
What's her only argument to her malfeasance in office? You're doing this to me because you hate me because I'm black and it's white supremacy. That's all you have to do, right?
Yep.
Is you're a woman who gets in trouble and happen to be a black woman who gets in trouble. Oh, I might have just did the most transparently stupid and unethical thing anybody in my position has ever done. And I did it publicly. Mm-hmm. And if you're mad at me, it's because you're a bunch of white supremacists.
Yeah, it's never about the job. It's always about who I identify as and who I am as a person, but never about the job they're actually doing.
Well, she had another fantastic excuse, too.
What's that?
We let everybody off the hook.
Well, oh, man, that case. And Roseanne is still sitting there with no show. Her show completely annihilated, yet he gets to go back? You know, I can see those things as unfair. Do I think he needs to spend 20 years in jail? No, because the crime in which he perpetuated is the crime in which he perpetuated. And Chris Ann Hall had a great point about that, is that see the big picture here. People are kind of blowing that out of proportion just on its own merit. But still, look at the hypocrisy of Hollywood. I mean, look at the hypocrisy of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Dr. Pesta, thank you. Check out the Dr. Duke Show. All you got to do is Google it. Dr. Duke Pesta, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
You betcha. And we'll be right back with more. Let's talk about DHS and all kinds of things going on. Secret Service guy out, you name it. We'll talk about it in the next hour and take your calls. 888-673-1450. We'll be right back on The Kate Daly Show.